Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit's gonna be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the counselor, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
All right, all right. Peace, family, peace. See, I got the living legend with me, Professor James Smalls, family. Professor James Smalls is in the building. Make sure you tell your friends, your families, your loved ones, people who you care about. So we're going to do a lot of learning tonight. This man has wisdom right here, and it's an honor to have him on the show. I'm going to get to a few ads, pardon me, and then we're gonna start. All right, family? All right, let me see. I see y'all in the chat. Yeah, three nights in a row. Yeah, I did a show three nights in a row. I told y'all when my son get a little older, I was going to pick it back up. And 2022, you know, we got to, you know, it's that type of year. You know, we got to pick up the pace with whatever we're doing, what our desires and our wants and our needs and the things we love to do. So, yeah, let's all inspire each other to pick up the pace. All right, family, keep it on a high frequency. All right, let me, first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to King Simon one of the best when it comes to numerology. You see his number right there. Text me full name and date of birth to get a consultation. He also has an introductory course on Udemy.com. You go to that website, Udemy.com. All right, family? And also, last but not least, make sure you go to the website, BlackMagicUniversity.com. I got all the past workshops up there. Financial, esoteric, educational, they're all up there, family. BlackMagicUniversity.com. Welcome back, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How you been?
Everything's good. Well, you know, I'm kind of tired of New York. You know, I'm planning on leaving New York soon. But other than that, I'm fine, man. With the whole, you know, I don't want, we can't say certain words, you know, with the whole, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you two be on some bullshit with that. But New York, ever since that, you know, I just, the whole vibe in New York is just completely off to me. So I'm looking forward to eventually leaving New York, you know. I think it's that time.
Well, that's your spirit giving you instructions. You got to listen.
Mm-hmm. Let's get this thing started, Professor. We're in 2022. Mm-hmm. A lot of people hear about all the fancy weaponry the white man has, who we call the white man, or, you know, whatever name you want to give him. And we, a lot of people feel helpless at this point in the game. A lot of individuals say the only thing we have left is our magic. So I want to have an in-depth conversation about our magic, our African magic, our black magic, whatever the different terms we call it, but how it could be effective in today's age, or today, 2022 and beyond, and how can we utilize it? So before we go there, let's take it back a little bit. What would you define, Professor James Smalls, as African magic or African spirituality? What would you define that as, my brother?
African sacred science. We don't have magic.
Sacred science.
Yes, sir. And we don't have spirituality. Those are really two really white things.
Those are white terms, you're saying.
European things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a sacred science. And the sacred means that's the highest level of science there is.
Mm-hmm.
And the science mean your knowledge and understanding of the universe, nature, and yourself. So that's the mother, father, child that they put Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, Osara, Aset, and Haru.
Mm-hmm.
Nature, it's the cosmology, what we call the heavens,
mm-hmm.
and you, the child, the human being. That's mm-hmm. the two things that all of the discussions have always been about. How do you create harmony in that world? The white man beat us up when he had nothing but some swords, so it ain't about weapons. It wasn't his weapons that won.
Mm.
You know, it was our being envy and jealous of something that we didn't have. And when we tried to get it, we found out it wasn't worth having except putting the chain around your wrist and throwing your butt on a ship or selling you in the Indian Ocean or across the desert into Europe as the Arab Muslims were doing before the white Christian. Our problem is our ignorance of our history, brother.
Say that again. Our problem is what?
Our ignorance of our history.
Mm-hmm.
Only history could erase the European. I don't even call him white because white's something good. And he's not really white. Mm. He's never seen a white person.
Mm.
So we're talking about the European or the Eurasians. They're both the same.
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize that it is our ignorance that's got us in the situation we are in. This year, I think we spent close to $2 trillion. With whom? The European, we said, have done us all the harm and we hate. The Asians, we said, is exploiting us and we hate. The Arabs, we say, are exploiting us and we hate. We've spent most of our money with those three communities. One is controlling much of the grocery stores in the African American community across the continent of North America. One is controlling the laundromats, small restaurants with the ethnic foods and dry cleaners across the continent of North America and the black community. One is producing all kinds of cheap products and dumping in our community, which we are buying from, I guess you call it, 5- and 10-cent stores, whatever. But at the end of the day, we spend something like 90% of nearly $1.5 trillion with the people who we say hate us and who we say we don't trust. And why should we? We've got a history of crimes against humanity practiced against us by those communities for centuries. We've got exploitation and genocide practiced against us by those communities for centuries. We said we want to be not the victim of these communities anymore, but we give them all the wealth they need to keep us oppressed. You know, how can any people, we are about 60 million strong in North America, we have a spending power of nearly $2 trillion. But why are we in poverty? Why is there any poverty anywhere? Right now in New York City, we have a mayor who's black, a police commissioner who's black, a district attorney who's black, assistant district attorney who's black, city council president who's black, public advocate who's black, 3 bar president who's black, head of the state assembly is black, the head of the state senate is black. Why are we still having the same issues? They said, oh, if you vote us in office, put some of us black folks in there, everything's going to change. Well, we've got thousands upon thousands of black folks in office since the voting rights was passed. What has changed? Okay? Because ignorance, most of the black elected officials, a fundamentally ignorant basic African-American history and almost totally ignorant of African history, which is our mother, father, historical and cultural experiences. So we like to think that we're intelligent, but intelligent people have a body of knowledge that can give them a guidance. And the most intelligent people follow the body of knowledge that is the history of their ancestors. The Chinese community right now is celebrating Chinese New Year, all right? Mm-hmm. And they have declared it to be the year of the tiger. They're celebrating a holiday that their great ancestors started. And in that holiday, whether it's a week or month, how long they run it, it informs and instructs them of who they are and who they should be. You look at the Jewish community, and look at any calendar. The Jewish community have more holidays than any other ethnic group.
Yeah, they do.
And they're one of the most powerful groups in America because each of those holidays represents a deification of an aspect of their history. You know, on certain occasions, they commemorate that and celebrate that, you know. So I forgot which one it is. The last one that was just celebrated was a celebration of how they rose up under the leadership of a family called the Maccabees to destroy the Greek descendants, the Hellenistics, who was keeping them under oppression in Northeast Africa, which they now call the Middle East. But it was Northeast Africa then, it's Northeast Africa now. They have another one that you call, where in Poland, as we were coming up to the Second World War, Kristallnacht, where the Nazis went around and broke all the glasses in the windows of the Jewish business in that city or country. And so they celebrate that to commemorate something that happened in history that they won't ever let happen again.
So
we don't understand it. We think history is just remembering the past but not understanding the relationship. You know, history gets rid of the mystery. But if you don't know your history, you're clouded in European and Asiatic mystery about who you are and what you are and what you've accomplished. And by studying that, what you will be capable of accomplishing again. Mm-hmm. But it's like a lot of the brothers and sisters, and people can make whatever decision they want around being vaccinated or not vaccinated. But when I hear some of the arguments of why you shouldn't get vaccinated, it shows that those people know very little about history. Since Africans invented vaccination, since we invented a number of the solutions to viral infections that we are fighting right now. And we haven't any knowledge of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have knowledge of the medical books in ancient Kemet. Most black people don't realize that the people of ancient Egypt were all blacks. You know, Kemet every shade, just like we are. We are brown skin, and we have people in our family. I have a brother almost the color of my shirt, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
One in between that, and then me at the lightest end. That's the way Africans always look, because the black can create any color in the spectrum, including the white. And that's what we did genetically over time, according to paleoanthropology and archaeology. We can prove this without, and everybody knows this now, except most black people don't know that Egypt was a black civilization, an ancient African civilization. And most of the knowledge that the West is using today, they picked it up in Egypt. They haven't improved on much of it except to create killing machines. You know. And so when you don't understand your history, then everything else you're working on is mystery. You don't have no magic. See, you can't have magic unless you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make magic unless you know what you're doing. Because mm-hmm. if we had magic, why would we stay in slavery in America for 200 and something years?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the Caribbean for 400 years? Where was the magic? We hid it under a rock someplace?
Mm-hmm.
The magic is functioning in your reality based on your knowledge of the past. If you don't have a knowledge of the past, how can you analyze your presence to create a future based on your understanding of cause and effects and the errors that you made before now? So ignorance is the black man's worst problem. Ignorance of self, ignorance of the history of his mother and father, his grandparents, his great parents, and his great, great, great parents. Because if you weren't ignorant of that, you would solve the problems of economic politics. And some people try to separate spirituality from reality. Spirituality is your reality. Your reality is your spirituality. But if you don't have African sacred science and you're working in somebody else's spirituality and his spirituality relegates you to the slave, then you're going to always be a slave. You got to have your own science, your own system, which is really your memory. What is your memory of who you were before this time? You know, what is your memory? And one of the problems is we don't have a memory. You know? We don't have a memory. And so some of us do. Now, you remember, we're close to Africans. We are nearly 2 billion people in the world, if not more. You know. So if you got 2 billion people that have lost their memory, meaning that don't know their history, don't know their culture, don't know their sacred science, don't know their ritual, you know, don't have an understanding of why they make music or why they do dance, don't have an understanding of why they're educated and what they should educate, don't have an understanding that they create mathematics and why they created it, don't understand why we created medicine or develop it to the level we have developed it as far back as Kemet, Egypt. If you don't have this understanding, then you walk around thinking you're the nobody that got nothing. And people treat you like the nobody that got nothing. And then the nobody that got nothing treat themselves like nobody that got nothing. And then you do what the nobody that got nothing, black, mostly males, did in 2020. We will kill 8,635 other black people with guns in the streets of America. And it's time to talk about manhood and I'm the conscious community. You're playing with yourself, and you don't even have a bathroom so to protect you from the world who's laughing at you. Mm. No group kills that many of their own people. Their women walking down the street from work, their babies in strollers, their brothers or sisters sitting innocently in a car, and then one of them proclaims something called manhood. Mm. That's a slave. That's an ignorant, backwards, misinformed, uninformed slave. Now, I don't blame them for being, having a shattered personality, you know, and a broken identity. That's what oppression does. But I still have to hold them responsible for the damage they do to our community. I understand how you got sick, but knowledge will help you get better. And we who are not as sick as you are trying to help you get better. And if you persist that you're going to keep killing our people, then maybe it's better to kill all of y'all and get a clean slate and then start all over again with another generation. Because you can't keep killing hundreds and hundreds of your people every month and then cry oppression. Because you haven't killed any of the people who you say oppress you. But there's something wrong with your mind. What's wrong with your mind is the ignorance of history that will allow you to make decisions that can build a better future than the present you find yourself in. And people don't call that spirituality. They want to call spirituality, they want to come up with a mythical thing. Something's going to float out of the sky. Or if you smoke the right piece of grass, something's going to change in your mind. It didn't save Bob Marley's life. He smoked a lot of ganja, but he got cancer like everybody else, and he died. Didn't save Peter Tosh's life. You know? But that can't be an answer, because those were godlike.
My fault.
If we come down to really looking at African sacred science, what we call on this side spirituality, then you're looking at the human being's relationship to the earth, meaning using the plants, the fish, the birds, and the animals so you can stay healthy, but don't injure, deplete, or destroy them such a degree that nature becomes unhealthy. Mm. Having a knowledge and understanding of the stars and the moons and the constellations and the sun, when the sun is here, the moon is here, this constellation is here, and I'm here, certain things is going on in my body. So you make that lineup, you make that relationship. When we talk about Brother King Simon, when he's doing numerology, he's talking about how the stars are lined up in relationship to your birthday, mm-hmm. in relationship to where the sun is, in relationship mm-hmm. to where the planets are. That's what spirituality is about. It's about having a knowledge of cosmology, having a knowledge of ecology, having a knowledge of how the human body works, and having a knowledge of the relationship between the human body and the cosmology and the ecology. And so we form them into science. You know, some of the sciences are called voodoo, some we call the Yoruba, some we call Akan, an ancient Kemet. We call it Netchers. What is the Netcher? You know, what is the Orisha? What is the Abosum in Ghana with the Akan? What is the Loas in Haiti? All of those things, they're not gods or people that look like the drawing we make. These are scientific concepts of how nature works and how cosmology works and how we should learn and understand it and work with it
mm-hmm.
in order to bring about a universal harmony. The Haitian Revolution, which was won and lost in the early 1800s. Yes, we won. We defeated the French. We defeated the Spanish. We defeated the English. And we defeated the Americans, who was financing them. Four of the mightiest nations on earth. And then we lost it because some confused backwards mulattoes who had white fathers decided to kill Dessalines and give the revolution victory back to the French and the Catholic Church.
Mm.
I'm talking about Pétion, Boyer, and others. So we won the revolution, but the ignorant murdered the revolutionary and gave the victory of the revolution back to the enemy. So if you don't understand that part of the struggle and you just keep talking about how we won the revolution, but yet our people in Haiti is living in the condition they're living, then you miss the point because you don't know history. So you're stuck in the white man's mystery.
Mm.
Now, how do we use the sacred science, the knowledge? You know, you ever seen the, what they call the bebés?
Yeah.
In Haiti?
Yeah.
Drawing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are they? They're our ancestors' conception of cosmological energy manifestation, right? That this type of energy responds to this type of thinking, that this type of energy responds to this type of action on the positive, and then they draw a configuration that represents that body of energy. And that there's certain things you can do to evoke that energy, to evoke Ezele Dante, to evoke Papa Legba, to evoke Ezele Frida.
You talking about this, right, Professor?
Yeah, that's called a bebe.
Yeah.
That's one of those symbols they use to represent a certain organization of cosmic energy that we are communicating with.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be embedded in us as well as in the environment around us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you forget the knowledge of how to do that, then you can have that symbol and still suffer because of your ignorance of what the symbol represents and how to actively have a functional relationship with the body of energy that it represents. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, definitely.
And so the same thing when you look at the Yorubas. The Yoruba have a symbol of a man. Most of the times you got a sledgehammer or a sword, and they call him Ogun. And they say Ogun is the god of iron, the god of war. So what does that mean, right? In order to get iron to make a sword or to make hoes to work the field, you've got to take some rocks that's full of all kinds of contaminants, and then you have to put it in fire, and you burn out the impurities, and you come up with a piece of metal called steel that you can use to make tools, instruments of war, any number of things, things to cook in, things to build your houses.
This is Ogun? Is this a represent?
Right.
Okay.
But what he really represents is transformation. When you take that piece of rock and you put it in the fire and you come up with the steel, you've transformed that rock by burning out the impurities. You're left now with a usable element that you can make weapons out of, that you can make tools out of, that you can make cooking implements out of. So what he did is to transform the rock into the steel. So he's symbolic of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And just as he's symbolic of transformation with that element, he's symbolic of transformation in your own character and personality, how you can restructure yourself ethically, morally, and principally to be a better human being, to make it a better world. You know? How you can transform your society with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, but it is a better society for those who are coming tomorrow than it was for today. And so he's symbolized as a strong man with the tools made out of steel at his disposal. You see the hammer down there for building. You see the sword in his hands for fighting. But the concept is about transformation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you transform yourself from a weak person to a strong person? How do you transform yourself from a farmer and a builder to a warrior to defend your community. And the steel is so representative of that, because you start out with a rock that's all dusty, dirty, and full of stuff, and you burn those things out of it, then you got this one piece that you can use to change the world called steel. So when we talk about spirituality, we're talking about reality. You see? That's why I call it African sacred science.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's a sacred science. Have you ever seen Mary, Jesus, and Joseph? You know, the father, the son, and the child. You've seen it in all kinds of carving all over the world. But nobody ever explains to you that's the human, a symbol of the human family, which is the true symbol of God.
Mother, father, and child.
That's right. That's a family. And unless you can create that triad, everything dies. You can't have two men together that can't produce a child and think anything can live past that generation, or two women together and think anything can live back past that generation. You have the two opposite sex reproducing themselves. That's who you produce. You and your wife, when you had that beautiful baby I saw, y'all recreated yourself. That child is you. When your mother and father gave birth to you, they recreated themselves as you. You see, when a woman gives birth to a child, she's the creator. Children don't fall out of the sky. They don't grow in a field. No stork dropped them off at your door at night. Children comes from the womb of a woman after a relationship with a man, where a seed and an egg find unity. And that unity contains everything of both parties so that they can recreate themselves as one, which makes the woman that aspect of God that creates. That's the only way human beings are created. You see? So when we talk about God being the creator, the only way God can create is in that woman's womb. And the only way God can do that is if that man's sperm, having gone through the vagina and find unity with the egg, released by the fallopian tube. So that function is the function of creation itself. But somebody has misled us to look up to the sky for some mythical guy hanging down his hands doing something. That's fantasy. That's fairy tale. Comic book stuff. The reality is the reality. If you don't understand that spirituality is reality, then you stay in the stupor of ignorance, constantly being oppressed by those who are feeding you the fantasy to keep you off course from understanding how to live in reality and be created to be a greater environment than the environment you found when you came into the world. That's sacred science. You know? We talk about love, and then culture we are in have reduced love to sex. So they call having intercourse making love. That's not making love. Love isn't made by having an intercourse. Because people do that in many instances, they don't even care about one another. Just looking for the sensation and the high that comes from having an orgasm. That's not love. Love is a commitment to a partnership based on a knowledge and an understanding of one another and the belief that you can work together to better the world. You know, and you take that responsibility and you take an oath to that responsibility. You know, it isn't just the energy you feel, because you could be married and walk by a beautiful woman and get stimulated like nobody's business, but you got to have discipline and control to know I've already made a commitment to that type of partnership. I mean, I'm glad I can still feel. I know I'm still alive, but I'm in that partnership already. So when we think of spirituality, yeah, we have the beautiful rituals, but rituals is a way of teaching the spiritual and sacred science, and not the sacred science of spirituality itself. Dancing It's a tool of culture that is used as a tool in the sacred science that we call spirituality. But it is not culture. Dancing is the tool of culture. Culture is the fundamental education system that a people put together to keep reinventing themselves. And it's the knowledge of culture that keeps the people from being genocide. If you're ignorant, anybody could commit genocide against you, like what's happening to us. Any old body could roll up in our community, but open a store and feed us rotten food and sell us dope and do all kinds of things. You know? And we fall for it because we don't have a culture that we recognize as common to us and have it intact so it can protect us from the parasites. You know, and the predators that come into our environment. But when we think of spirituality, don't make it spookality. Really see it as sacred science. But we get off into spookality and mysteries because you can't solve a mystery for the most part. So you like if you got these mysteries going on, you're not responsible then for solving the problems of food, clothing, shelter, safety, and security. The biggest spiritual thing you can do is to provide food, clothing, shelter, safety, and security for yourself and your family. Stop doing that and see what kind of world you're going to be in with all your spirituality. And it's amazing as we walk through the world, especially here in North America, I see so many of our people who we say priests and priestesses, and they're as much in poverty as the people they're supposed to help. That doesn't make any sense. Why would I have somebody come and says, I'm going to show you how to heal cancer, but he's got cancer all over his body and can't do nothing about it. You can't help me fight my cancer. I'm going to go find somebody who's either healed themselves or know how to heal cancer. You can't come with a cancer-riddled body and say, I'm going to teach you how to heal. But we fall for that because we become clones of the people who defeated us militarily, the Eurasians, and brought us to this new environment, which was new. There were African peoples in the Americas long before the transatlantic slave trade. There were African peoples in the Americas long before the so-called Native American or the Mongolian Asiatics came over here 10,000 years ago. They found us here. The reason they're no longer yellow and we call them red because of their merger with the black. But that's what black and yellow creates, the ruddy, the red. But people need to get down and start dealing with what's real, stop lying to themselves for the sake of fitting in to somebody else's narrative about history, which wasn't meant to ever be true. And let's create our own narrative based on the knowledge and understanding we have from having the knowledge of the history of our ancestors at hand for us to use and to analyze and to recreate the path of economic politics and culture, so that we can control land, labor, and the resources where we live. Because freedom, as Dr. Asa Hilliard said, is being shackled to your identity. Your identity is your history. And the science of how to recreate the best of that, this stuff we did in history, we don't want to never do again. Throw that in the garbage. But there's stuff we did in history that we need to use right now to reconstruct the family, reconstruct the neighborhood, reconstruct the community, and reconstruct the nation. Based on certain ethical and moral principles that governs our character, that allow us to create a harmony that will allow us to build and share the wealth that we are reaping from the environment we live in. And so we build institutions like what they call churches or mosques or temples so that we could practice and replicate the things our ancestors did that made them successful. That's all they are. We can go to worship. You can go to going in and have a history. What do you think the Bible is? They claim it's a history. So why would you go and repeat that same history over and over every week? The Torah. Why would they go and repeat that same history over and over every week? The Quran, they're going to recite the same history over and over every week. Why do you think they do that? So they can have a methodology that led them to the victory and the control they now have over the world. Where's your methodology? If you're ignorant of your ancestors' history, development, and success, how are you going to have a methodology to defeat the parasites and exploiters that are treating you like the sacrifice of the universe? If the only methodology you have is theirs and their methodology puts you on the bottom, there you will stay. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm using his history and I'm using his culture, his culture, his politics, his philosophy, his worldview puts me at the bottom of the pile.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter who's using it. When I'm using it, I'm putting myself at the bottom of the pile.
Mm-hmm.
And I want myself to be kept there while they enjoy the wealth of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about spirituality, remember, we're talking about reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we create certain rituals to help teach that to us. We create dance and celebration and holidays to enforce a body of knowledge and an understanding of a successful past and all kinds of cities that we use in the present to build a successful future. But if you don't have a knowledge of that past, whose future are you building? If you only have a knowledge of your enemy's past. But people don't want the reality that I'm talking. They want to have their self blindfolded and stay in mystery and darkness, and imagining about dogs and other things, and then call that spirituality. Oh, I had a feeling. I woke up the other night and I found myself, I walked out the door and I was down the street someplace and there was a vibration on the corner. Well, you just were sleepwalking. You need to go see a doctor. Okay? But if you're talking about spirituality as reality, the only thing you know about gods was written and told by men and women. Only one body of knowledge about any god in any culture, and I'll show you the man or woman in their history who wrote it. So let's stop playing. The Ewe people of West Africa had a word for God. They had multiple words because words that we read can be attributes. Names are attributes describing a certain quality of a thing. But their main name was the totality of creation itself. So great Lisa. And what we are calling God is the totality of creation. And we are nothing more than an expression of an aspect of that totality. Or an expression of an essence of an aspect of that totality. And in a sense, the Ten Nation is right when they say we are God. But we think they just made up something. And hopefully they understand what they're saying. You know, I don't know if they always manifest that, given what I've seen. But certainly their teacher gave them a very important clue, the reality. Because if God is omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent, and supreme, there's no room for anything else to exist except it.
Mm-hmm.
If anything else exists, it has to exist as an aspect of it.
Right, 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 right. Yeah.
But you give that some real deep thought. It's like a man and a woman says, I'm in love. You see a sister, she sees a brother, and something pulls you together. Yeah, that type of electricity is really there. That type of attraction is really there. That type of energy is really there. But you have to have a knowledge to manage it, you know? And when you understand, okay, what is it that drew us together? It is that aspect of the divine that's in her that recognized a similar aspect of the divine in him and vice versa. So based on that feeling that you get hit with the minute you look at that person, you want to get closer to them and get to know them. But if you're in a culture that says the first thing you do is lay on the back and have sex with her and probably get her pregnant before you even get to know her last name, then you've destroyed the relationship's possibility before you even get started. You know? And you've now caused hurt in the family, disruption in the young lady's life, disruption in your life, when a policy, a cultural policy of how to approach one another, how to learn how to know one another, how to learn how to respect one another, rebear one another, before you ever violate one another. Because if you have a mating with the opposite sex, you don't know them, don't know their family, don't understand them, they don't know you or your family, that's called violation. Both of you are violating one another for the sake of a feeling which you can get from smoking a cigarette or drinking a glass of wine. Well, it's a little better than that, but you know, got to know what I mean. So let's talk about real spirituality. Spirituality is when I align myself with the energy in the earth and the plants and the animals in the earth. And then also align myself with the energy in the universe through a knowledge and an understanding of stars and their movement, a knowledge and understanding of constellation and their movement, a knowledge and understanding of planets and their movement, what we call astronomy. The Africans who created astronomy through that study, then those scientists then created astrology so they could explain astronomy to the masses. The masses are not going to be looking up in a damn sky all night. They were busy fishing, planning, making boats, you know, harvesting crops, making clothing and all the other things, you know, building homes. But they don't have time to do that for those persons who they entrusted that to, the scientists who we call astronomers. They said, okay, we got the knowledge now. How do we give it to our people? So you create astrology to explain the complexities of astronomy and its relationship to the people. You understand that? Basically, what astronomy does is tell you what I just said, what your relationship is to the sun.
Right.
So you didn't have to do all that work. Somebody else spent thousands and thousands of years, these scientists, figuring that out. And then they figured out how can we give this to the masses? So they first can understand they got a relationship to the planets, they got a relationship to the sun, they got a relationship to the moon, they have a relationship to the stars. There's a cycle in all of that, and it's repetitive. So they created the science of astrology to explain the science of astronomy to the masses. All that is a part of your spiritual or sacred science system. You know, they had to learn how to measure. And the Nile River, which is, we take a lot of our knowledge from the civilization that grew up there, you know, it once a year, it brought all that nice black soil from the southern part of Africa and dumped it. You could grow anything in it. But now you had to come up with a way to make sure I'm not taking your plants and you're not taking mine. So we had to come up with a way to measure land. So here's your piece of land, Brother Rich. There's your piece of land, Brother Small, and that science of measuring and parlaying out is called geometry. Somebody decided to call it geometry. And it goes on and on. All of the mathematics and science that we know is a part of your spiritual system. Because it's a part of how you gain an understanding of the world and how you design what your relationship to the world is going to be. Yes, it involves a lot of feelings. Yes, it involves a lot of anticipation. Yes, you're going to have intuitive, because what we call intuitive is the universe inside of you trying to explain to you how to express yourself outside of you. So you say, oh, that was my intuition. That's how I got to know that. But so how did you know that, Brother Rich? Man, that was pure intuition. Yeah, because the knowledge of the universe is already inside of you because you are the universe. You're a replica of the universe. You're a replica of nature. When you get hungry, you don't go in the kitchen and chop up a human being and make some human steaks and go eat it to replenish the dead cells, do you? You can eat anything else out of nature you want to eat. Animal, fish, bird, plants, roots. So you are everything in nature makes you up. So when you spend a day and you lose thousands and thousands of cells by working and doing all the things you do, you have to replace that with a diet. And so you go and eat everything else out of nature. All of them give you a certain type of energy to replace the certain type of energy that you use already. So are you not nature? The light and the energy that comes from the sun and the moon and the planets and stars, millions of light years away, is absorbed by you on a daily basis. Then are you not the universe? And what we call spirituality is how we understand that science arrangement between the three. Cosmology, ecology, and the human being. Some people call it religion. I tend to call it sacred science. Religion is too confining and too restricted. The Africans don't have a holy book. What book can you write that can hold the knowledge of the universe? What book? Tell me. 10 million pages? 2 million pages? How many pages does it have to be to contain that body of knowledge? You ever seen The Last Supper? I think I told you about this one before, right? The Last Supper of Christ sitting there, Jesus the Christ sitting with a halo around his head, meaning light emanating from his head, with 12 people, 6 on this side of him and 6 on this side of him. And people be going around crying, oh, he's having the Last Supper, and they're going to kill the Lord right after this. Because they don't see what they see. They look right at it and don't see what they see. Because they're busy seeing what someone else told them to see. That story is a story of cosmology and ecology. They're eating bread. Bread represents what? Nature, right? He's the guy who's in the boss. He's sitting in the middle of everybody and a halo around his head like the sun. He's Ra. He's the light of the universe. The knowledge that make everything happen, right? So he's the sun. And evolving around the sun is the 12 months of the 12 disciples. And if you look at the picture well, you see that each group of six, the six on this side, six on that side, each of them are divided into a group of threes, only talking to one another in that set of threes. So what you have is the four seasons and the 12 months evolving around the sun. So that Last Supper picture, that's a solar drama story being told. And what's the word you use? When you don't want people to see something, except those who know the something they're seeing, you know? So it's hidden, right?
Occult? Occult?
No.
No. Esoteric?
No,
no,
it'll come to me.
Okay.
But, hey, you got it right there. How many people ever saw? I know 90% of the people that heard what I just said never saw the 12 months evolving around the sun. You know, they never saw the four seasons evolving in the 12 months. They never saw the light from the head of Christ being the light of the sun. And if you close down that sun, we got up in our sky, everything on the earth died. You can call them whatever you want to. Ra, Ray, Allah, Jesus, Jehovah. Take away the sun and it's a wrap. So the Africans are smart to use the sun as the symbol of God, not a cross. That's the symbol of death. Not a single star, the dog star, which is Sirius B, that the Jews use. They use the sun to give life to all of that. But there is a story of the solar drama being called the Last Supper, and we can't see it because somebody told us it's the Last Summer Supper. So we don't see the 12 dudes. We don't see the groups of threes that makes up the four seasons. And we don't see the light emanating out of his head. It's what the wisdom being given to the world or the health of the world being watered by the light of the sun. So we turn it into a mythology that just don't make no sense. Because somebody told us to see it that way. Or like I said, Jesus rose in 3 days. You die on Friday, late in the afternoon, and you rise on Sunday, early in the morning. That sounds like 2 days to me, at best. So what's up with the 3-day thing? And then after he's been killed. So they kill him on the cross. Well, in the very few chapters following that, he's meeting with a guy named Thomas and the rest of his disciples who don't believe that's him. And then he says, stick your hand in the hole. So he had to be a physically living being. He's telling them to stick your hand in the holes where the nails made, and you see this is really me. But we missed that because somebody told us to see something else. But he's saying, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. Somehow I escaped that attempt to kill me. Even if it's a metaphor, in the metaphor, they show him escaping death. If it's real, then they show him escaping death. And maybe he never died at all. Maybe that was when he said, I thirst, and they gave him the gall and vinegar to drink. Maybe that gall is the Hebrew word for pure poppy juice, and vinegar was fermented apple juice, and he was just high, to a point his body functions slowed down such that you couldn't even detect light. That happens with kids who drown, in frozen ponds. And once they get them out of the pond and warm them up, the child wakes up. Well, any human being. So there's just a lot we don't understand. That's why we got to look at it very scientifically. Because certainly, if religions and gods and stuff have been what we are told it is, then how in the world do they rationalize and justify what has happened to the Africans, who are the people who worship gods more than anybody else on the planet Earth on any given day? So either your God ain't working, or you're using it the wrong way, or you're perceiving it the wrong way. At any rate, it ain't working, folks. That's why the prison is filled with your children. That's why the unemployment line is filled with your children. That's why in the streets of Africa, the smartest we have is standing by the road selling some Chinese knockoff for a few cents just to get enough food to eat that evening. In a country that's producing gold and diamond and platinum and cobalt and being sent away to the rest of the world, and your children walking around with their raggedy behinds hanging out of pants that they got from some used clothes crap that was sent into the country in a disgrace towards us. I'm just saying, let's be real. If you got what you say you got, make it work. If the Yoruba is supposed to be what Yoruba is supposed to be, why is the Fulani killing and slaughtering the people in Yoruba land every day? Something wrong with the game, folks, and it's the way you're looking at the game. This is about understanding cosmology, ecology, and the human experience, the relationship between the three. And until you get back to making your spirituality your reality, you're going to be a slave to somebody else who has made their spirituality their reality. We go in our church and sing and shout and have a good time, pass out. Other people go in there and plot how to take all the money you got and all the land you got and all the raw materials you got and then say amen at the end of that discussion when they come up with a plan. And we talk about how great we can sing, what great singers we produce, how we got more rhythm than anybody else. Does that do anything for you? Let's deal with reality. If you want to understand your ancestry, you got to understand history. Because each one of us represents the best of our ancestors, the latest version, and the most high-tech model. But as long as it's ill-informed of the past, it almost comes to be useless for anything except to be a clone of your enemy. And trying to rationalize, I got to make a living. So if I got to sell drugs to some black folks, yo, man, that's what it is. That's what's up. And then on the other side of your mouth, you talk about how somebody's oppressing you. Well, if somebody that's oppressing you is you oppressing yourself in the name of the only avenue you know and the only history you know, because you don't know yourself and you don't know your history. Have no respect for your ancestors. Some of us have learned to pour libations. We don't even know why we do it. Even if they call them Dr. Klotz name, Dr. Ben name, that ain't your ancestry. Call your mama name, your daddy name, or your grandparents name. And then ask why you call them. Who were they? What would they tell you to do under the circumstances you currently find yourself? You know? Why are we crying? Oh, well, they don't teach our history in school. But yet we are not joining the PTAs. You're not joining the school boards. We're not running the schools. That's built from our tax money. And to make us feel absolved from that, we say it's their school. No, it's your damn school. Why aren't you out there running it? Why haven't you taken responsibility for it? Here you got a school in a black community, in one of the blackest communities in America, called Brooklyn. And it's run by a bunch of white people that tell you, I won't teach your children shit about themselves, and there's nothing you can do about it. I know you're not coming to the PTA meeting. I know you're not going to join the school board. I know you're not going to run for election in the school board to get me out of here and change the rules. I know you're not going to take over city council with your conscious people so you can change the laws. How in the hell can a school system that's 100% black have somebody running that system saying, I'm not going to teach your history to your children? That is pure insanity. And yet the people who are suffering from that insanity is running around talking about their spiritual. The only spirit you got is the spirit of the enemy getting his job well done by you. He don't have to do anything except get in his car and go back to the suburb after he does all they can to destroy the brain and the psyche of your child in school all day so that you'll never become a competitor to their children. No, spirituality is your being in charge of and responsible for your reality. Otherwise, everything else is just comic book. You know? I don't want to sound so morbid, but we have so separated ourselves from reality. Really, that beautiful little baby you got is three. You're going to send him to school for the murderers to butcher again? You know? You have to organize some people in your community to say, we all going to be at the PTA on Monday night. We run one of us for the school board because we got to vote. Our community schools 99 to 100% of your kids. We have the teachers, the majority community who's trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. It's racism against you. Have no respect for you. Won't even teach your children their history when you hand your baby over just like, you know.
That's crazy.
It's absolute insanity. But it comes from ignorance. Ignorance of who you are. Ignorance of who your ancestors are. Because the other part of that spiritual understanding is you are the ancestors. With your mother and father, when they gave birth to you, gave birth to themselves. And your mother and father, when they were given birth to by your four grandparents, they were given birth to themselves. Are you not the ancestors? You're the best of their genes, the latest version, and the highest tech model, but you're the same person. You're just going to add to now. But to add to, you got to have a knowledge of them so you know what should appropriately be added to. I hope I'm making this simple enough.
Oh, definitely.
Not spooky at all.
No.
People be talking about Yemajah is doing this. We're going down by the river like they do every year in Brooklyn, and we're going to take flowers for Yemajah. I don't have a friggin' clue what they're doing. No disrespect. 90%. I'll say 95%. Don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to do something. And those who are leading them, who know better, just lead them into this myth that by going to some water and throwing some flowers in, wearing some clothes and dancing is going to fundamentally change anything. It is not going to change nothing. Unless you understand that Yemajah means the nurturer, the mother, and then you behave as a nurturer and a mother towards your children and your community and dramatically change it, then you're Yemajah. Otherwise, you can go to that water every damn day wearing white and throw all the flowers you want. Ain't nothing going to happen. Because it's just a symbol. of a set of attributes that you should have. And they chose the water because even our ancestors know all life began on this planet in the water. And so they chose that part of the water, because all of the water is Nyamaja, only that part of the water that is penetrated by the sunlight where photosynthesis takes place. Okay? That's Ra. You understand? Penetrating his wife. She's the mother, and he's the father. In some cultures, in some it's reverse, where the earth becomes the man instead of the woman. And then the sky forces become the female. But the process is the same. See, in ancient Egypt, it said gathers the earth, and Nut is the sky, and gathers land as a man with his penis erected, and Nut is hanging over her, her vagina showing and her breast showing, with her arms touching the ground on this side of the universe and her legs on that side of the universe. But if you go to Ghana, they'll say Asafiya, and they'll say the earth is the female, and the sky is the male that penetrates it. But if we understand what our ancestors are trying to say when we're talking about Yemaja, we're talking about that part of the water that can be penetrated by sunlight, where life can be born. That part of the water where photosynthesis don't take place, that's our Lokun, father. There's a lot of science in our mythology, but our mythology is a method of teaching concepts, ideas, and principles. But we get the teaching tool confused with what was being taught. And that's one of the ways why we've gotten lost. But it didn't happen accidentally. The enemy cut you off from that body of information called your history. And so you had no way to measure your present with your past. So how can you then recreate a future? Except on his terms. And that one always has you at the bottom. No matter how much PhDs we got, how many trillions we make, we're still at the bottom. You got to ask yourself why. Because you don't know who you are relative to who everything and everybody else is. And when you learn who you are, then you'll do for self, create yourself. You'll do the Ngusa Saba that we hear about when we think of Kwanzaa, you know, and the seven principles. Dr. Salanga and the members of us who created that holy day, holy week for us out of fragments of Africa that had commonality to be practiced every week in the African-American community. And you'll see how you grow. You'll see how you grow from that knowledge.
Definitely.
And so that's it. When we're talking spirituality, let's get away from the spookality. Let's get into the real science so we can understand what we're doing. As a rich, I remember like you and I, we were supposed to do something a couple of months ago. I know you got a little annoyed with me. And then I was supposed to my fellow boss, smack him upside his head. And I wanted to push you. I said, when I first met you, I like this young guy. And Brother Rock, I think, brought me by your house.
Yeah.
I started acting a little, but my father and I used to call Coco Loco. I said, what's wrong with this boy? Said, let me give him some time out there in the forest. Because he looked like a good father. I love brothers who can be good fathers. Because that, that, to me, I used to let my children nurse my breast when their mama wouldn't hold me at my husband. I love children. Love my children. And I'd like to see brothers love their children. Once you have that love, you can die for that.
Yeah.
So they have what they need. And what do they need? Food, clothing, shelter, safety, security. How do you get that? Controlling economic, politics, and culture. What do you do with that? You get control of the land, labor, and resources where you live. You can't separate that from your spirituality. And that is what? Your reality. What your spirituality does is tell you how to do that best. Spirituality is that body of knowledge that you learn from the past that tells you how to get control of the economics. You know, how to manage the politics so it manages your economics for you, how to reconstruct your culture so it gives you the ethics needed to be a leader in your community and a good example. You know, spirituality includes everything that you do. You can't even separate spirituality and culture. It's woven like a piece of cloth, like a kente cloth with the different colors. You know? And that's where spirituality is woven into the culture. Culture is everything you do, what you eat, what you wear, how you walk, where you walk, what you say, what you sing. Everything that affects your life on a daily basis that you've interpreted and found a way to use it to your advantage is called your culture. That's why I can protect you from genocide when you want to talk of it. So, yes, we could talk in detail about OBI, the Root Ladies of the South. Black people in South Carolina, North Carolina, they call themselves Root Ladies. What does that mean? Because they use the bushes, they use the roots, they use the plants, they use the leaves to make the medicine. Because we didn't have no doctors when we came out of slavery. Or even when we were in slavery, all right? We had no doctors from the Western perspective, but we brought our African doctors with us. With a herbalist. A herbalist is a physician or a nurse. They knew how to fix the medicine, take the medicine, boil the medicine, you know, age the medicine, and then apply it to you when you needed and were sick. And yet this society disdained them and made you think that if you go to a root woman, you're going to poison somebody. Well, if that was that good, we'd have poisoned their asses. That's not what root medicine is about. Root was the organic medicine of the African men and women, priests and priestesses, physicians who came over here during slavery and practiced that medicine among us. And even today, throughout the South, especially the Gullah Geechee Corridor, from North Carolina down to Florida, we still have those people practicing that medicine till this day. Because they understood very quickly spirituality is your reality. So we in America now, we don't have the same things we had in Africa. So we got to master this ecology as quickly as we can. We got to learn these faunas as quickly as we can. You know what I'm saying? We got to find out what has the healing qualities. You know, they found an old bitter weed called collard greens, but it gave us the iron we need to work in the field every day. You know, and they took the corn and they created something called harmony grits. You know,
grits.
That's right, grits from ground up corn. You know, but it gave us the carbo that we needed to work in those fields. And then the rice, we brought the rice over here. Sister had a soda up in their little aprons and things. People think of rice, you think automatically of the East, East Asia. But yet the rice that made America rich long before tobacco or cotton was an African rice. And Africa has three rices, two wetland rice and one dryland rice. So you ever hear anybody talking about African rice? The closest they've gotten is Dr. Ben or Carolina rice, you know. But no, the rice, but because it is so essential to America, made us rich, they didn't want to give that an African identity. So they made you think of rice only as Asian. It's like El Exigente when they talk about coffee. Coffee was invented in Ethiopia. Okay? And some of the best coffee in the world comes up out of Uganda. And one of its main customer is Maxwell House. But you never see a commercial that show you African coffee growers or hobbies.
Never.
So somebody is playing with your sacred science, using psychology to bamboozle you, to keep you from a knowledge and an understanding of yourself and your history and your achievements in that. So spirituality is managing your reality, you know? You want to find God, strip butt naked and go stand in the damn mirror. I guarantee you.
Ooh.
Then have a conversation with who you see in the mirror. Tell them what you love about it or her, and tell them what you don't love about it. And what you don't love about them, tell them how you're going to change it. Because nobody can make that change but you. You know, if you're looking for something to come from outside that's already inside. Even the word education itself means to bring something from inside out.
Okay.
They make you think education is going to school and they're putting something in. That's why it doesn't work for our kids. You know? Because you go to school not to get educated. You go to school to get tools. And then you use the tools to bring the thing inside, that intuitive spiritual power, inside out, which will tell you how to reconstruct your personality, your society, your community, etc. in an appropriate manner that allows for harmony and peace and love to exist. And that's why the Africans came up with the concept of Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, and reciprocity.
Indeed.
No other culture has a concept like that. But all over Africa, you find that concept in play. In the Yoruba, they call it Iwapile, which means harmony and balance. You know, in the Igbo, they call it Omanele, which means the harmony and balance inside, harmony and balance outside. It's the same culture all over Africa. Don't get confused by the different names that language brings to the table. But what they're describing is how we should live in nature. And in cosmology, and how we should learn from cosmology. Our ancestors, in order to make the solar calendar, they had to study the skies for 10,000 years, at least twice, so they could see the replication. In order to make the lunar calendar, they had to study the sky at least every month for a few months to see the replication. In order to make the stellar, then the last one is the solar, to study the movement of the sun. And in order to get the movement of the sun, you had to do that for 12 months. Now, so they did these things, and there's another one, the great year, but they had to study for 25,000 years, at least twice to see the replication. So you're talking about 50,000 years of observing phenomena and see that it is repeating itself. And then you line those things up. What is a human being doing when the sun is here, the moon is here, the stars are here, constellation is here, and the planet is here? You line those things up. That is a scientific understanding and body of knowledge that you use to interpret what is happening and what is probably going to happen to you in your lifetime and to your earth. I know I can plant this seed at this time of the year, and it will grow. I can plant this seed at this time of the year. I can plant this seed in this kind of season. I can plant this seed, and that had to be observed and studied. When you put all of that together, that's what spirituality is. It's science. It's your relationship to the rest of nature and your relationship to cosmology. Cosmology, ecology, and the human experience. We can try to mystify it and keep ourselves lost in the darkness of mystery because we want to have power over a few people who are ignorant. So we spook up everything, and everybody's thinking, well, there's something spooky behind curtain number one, so I'm going to just wait here for the next 100 years and see if it comes out. Or you can show people how to see that there is no curtain there. And if there's one there, pull it down and let them see reality. You know, I said something, Rich, that made a bunch of brothers a little upset with me a few times in the last year. Every young black man, if I had my brothers, they would join the American military the day after graduating high school.
You said if you had your what?
My brothers, mean my way.
Okay.
Every young black man, when he hits 18 and got out of high school, he'd have to join the American military for at least 2 years.
That sounds super crazy, Elder.
Why would it sound crazy? I served for 4 years. Did it kill me? My father was one of the most militant men I know and got me in the movement. He served in two theaters of war, Pacific and France. My uncle, who gave me my first gun and showed me how to protect myself in the South, he fought in Germany. My brother fought in Korea, and he came back home, became a black leader in Connecticut, in New Haven, and a businessman that raised up his community. So what is supposed to happen to me if I go into the American military? Will I lose my mind in a greater than the mind that killed 8,000 of their brothers and sisters in the streets of America in 2020? Mm-hmm. 8,635, to be close to the exact.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before was 7,000 or something. The year before was 6,000. Would my mind be any worse than that? Mm-hmm. And brothers, I know some brothers and parties, well, we could train them. Why haven't you? Why do we have Bloods and the Crips and the this and the that instead of having the Pan-Africanist, nationalist, revolutionary, protective guard for the black community, not the murderers of the black community? It says you can't train them. I know one place where they can get that training, but they'd rather have the Ku Klux Klan get the training and own the guns. They'd rather have the Klan and the White Citizens Council and the Proud Boys go into the military and become the cops in their community so they can cry on how racist the cop is. You want to get rid of racism and police violence in your community, you become the cop. And one of the path, the quickest path to becoming a cop is going in the military. But we don't want to really become the cop because that's a responsibility too big for many of us that are punk selves to handle protecting the black community from the harm that can come from any outside or inside source. People got to come with a better answer than that to me. Our people served in this military from the beginning of the time. When Black Wall Street was being attacked, you know who was defending it? The African Blood Brotherhood. Almost all of them served in the First World War. Most people don't even know there was a group called the African Blood Brotherhood, let alone that they were all soldiers who served in the First World War, born right here in New York. Migrated out to Tulsa. We don't even know we fought back and that we won the battle. We still crying, oh, they came and destroyed Black Wall Street. They could destroy Greenwood. In the end, when they dropped the bombs from the sky, the gasoline bombs from the sky, we had defeated them on the ground. We defeated them on the ground. We defeated the Klan. We defeated the police. We defeated their militia. So the only course they could have was to go up in the air in those planes and drop those gasoline bombs on us.
I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police busting at me, but you can't do nothing to the heat.
Be some stuff you're gonna see that's gonna make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you gotta keep your sense of humor. You gotta be able to smile through all this bullshit.
Keep your head up. Junior Libby, good afternoon. You're inside of the GBE. Thank you for joining us.
Peace and love, my brother.
You want to support Roller Mark Unfiltered? Be sure to join our Bring the Funk fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show. There's only one daily digital show out here that keeps it black and keep it real as Roller Mark Unfiltered by going to RollerMartinUnfiltered.com. You can make this possible.
All right, folks. This is the year of return, 400 years in August, when 20-odd Africans first arrived on the shores of Virginia. And today, I attended the media announcement of HBCU Africa Homecoming. And what this is connecting HBCUs with the continent. And so we covered the whole event. After we finish today's show, we're going to live stream that whole event so you can see all the different comments that folks had to make there. But I have to speak to this. And it was a sister who was the ambassador of the African mission here. She opened this thing up, and I really want you to hear what she has to say, because she makes a direct connection between what the colonizers did to the continent in 1884 to also what is happening today in terms of this whole dysfunction that exists with Africa, but also with those of us who our ancestors come from the motherland. And so I want to play this for you, which is an excerpt from what she had to say. Then we're going to chat with it about our panel. I really think you're going to be blown away by what she has to say. Go right ahead.
We were way ahead of them in our civilization. They set out to destroy us. And Berlin Conference put the nail on that coffin. So they gave Djibouti the same sovereignty as the United States. They gave Burundi the same sovereignty as China. They gave Togo. You see, the EU realizes individual little countries, they can't survive on the world stage. So they come together as the European Union. Now picture this now. So they cut up this Africa into the tiny little countries, small economies that could never survive on their own, but gave them the same sovereignty as the big boys. So that way, when the little bitty countries go to the world stage for the purposes of development and discussing trade, they're wannabe boxers who are being thrown into the heavyweight boxing ring every day. How do you put China in the same boxing ring with Eswatini? Eswatini has 1.2 million people. China has 1.4 billion people. And you put them on the same stage and say, go at it, negotiate. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is insanity of the highest order. How have we allowed this carnage to go on? When Eswatini is thrown in the same boxing ring with China and Eswatini is collapses before Eswatini even gets on the stage, the world says, well, Eswatini, what's wrong with you? Why can't you take care of your people? Well, China came in and said, Eswatini, give me all your gold or else. And if Eswatini does not agree, they just go on next door to Lesotho and give Lesotho an extra dollar. And if Lesotho doesn't take it, they just jump on to Togo, Central African Republic. It was all by design, 1884. They did something else in addition to chopping us up. They also set out to make the African believe that everything African was bad and undesirable, and everything Western, particularly French and British, was more desirable. We call that the legacy of colonization. Prior to that, they had started long working on the slaves. Make them think everything about them, forget anything about Africa. Where you come from is a horrible place, diseased and dying people, constantly at war with themselves, uncivilized. Cut out any communications with them. You need to just know what we tell you. And we call that the legacy of slavery. So that way, you look at where we are today. 135 years later, a system that was put in place to see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated, that Africa is forever exploited, remains in place today, alive and well. And we sit here and we ask ourselves, why isn't Africa moving forward? Why does Africa continue to be taken advantage of? Well, I'll tell you why, very simply. Until Africa comes together as a continent speaking with one voice, one continent, one people, nothing, and I repeat, nothing is gonna change. As individual little African countries, we are wannabe boxers. We will never make it fighting against the heavyweights.
Oh.
We must speak with one voice.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what our Pan-African leaders wanted to see happen in 1963 when they came together in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. They clearly stated that Africa for the Africans at home and abroad, and that African Union was now. They said Africa must speak with one voice. It is the only way for Africa to take its rightful place on the world stage. Sadly, when they went to Addis Ababa in 1963, they were divided. We had two factions, the Casablanca group and the Monrovia group. The Casablanca group were saying Africa for the Africans at home and abroad, and African Union now. This was Ghana, Guinea, Mali, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia. Only seven. The other 25 of the 32 who attended were the Monrovia group. They were the nationalists. They said, let's go slow. Let's kind of wait on this Pan-African thing. 55 years later, 56 this year, we're still going slow. As if it wasn't bad enough that we were divided up into the tiny little countries that we are today. The gift that Berlin Conference gave us. One other thing that France did between 1958 and 1961 in the name of giving us our independence as African countries. France forced the Francophone, and I hate that terminology. There is no such thing as Francophone, Anglophone. They made it up. But for the purposes of communication, I will use that. 14 of those countries, they said, in order for you to get your independence from us, you must sign this document. You thought they could have found a better name for the document. The document was called the Pact for the Continuation. I repeat, the Pact for the Continuation of Colonization. We are talking about giving you independence, but sign this pact for the continuation of colonization in a different format. And I'm going to highlight some of those issues that they said you must agree to if you are going to be independent. Hello. Maybe we need to redefine the meaning of independence for the French. France said, you see, you monkeys, you don't know how to manage your money. We're going to demand that you deposit 85% of your bank reserves with the French Minister of Finance. Under the French Central Bank, under the control of the French Minister of Finance. France is then going to take your 85% bank deposits from each and every one of you. Deposit those funds in the French stock market under the French name. And you may or may not know the returns. Today, as we speak, the latest figures are saying for every 14 billion that France invests in the stock market from Africa, they are realizing upwards of 300 billion in return. Every year, year in, year out, because of these deposits from the African countries, France is taking out of Africa over $500 billion. Now figure it out. for every 14 billion, the returns on the investment are over 300 billion, and they are taking over 500 billion. So in actuality, France is taking out of Africa trillions of dollars year in and year out from us poor people, Africans. Back to the pact. So should you want to access some of your money that you have deposited with France, you have to submit your country's financial returns. And if approved, you get to get it as a loan. You can only access up to 20% of your money year in, year out, as a loan at commercial interest rates. Your own money. As if that was not enough. They said all your minerals discovered, yet to be discovered, all your oil discovered, yet to be discovered, France and French companies have the first right of refusal. If there's anything left over that the French companies do not want, your people might have. To this day. They said you will only use the currency that we created for you because you are special Africans. We call it the CFA. There was the Central African CFA and the Western African CFA, same animal. And that France is the only one that can print it for you. 1958. Fast forward. They're still printing it for us. And if you start misbehaving, they just stop printing your money. And your country's in trouble. They also said your language of instruction shall be French, whether you like it or not. That France will have military presence in your country. That your military can only be trained by France. That you can only buy military equipment from France. That you cannot have any military alliance with your neighbor. And that in the event of war, your allegiance is only to France. And furthermore, because they have military presence in your country, they can invade you without notice should they feel that the interests of France in your country are being violated. Fast forward, 2019, nothing has changed. The same people who have the audacity to tell us that we are poor countries, they are taking trillions out of Africa every year. And what is the African doing? Like an obedient, programmed black man, we just give in. We know the facts.
Understanding the very origin and the nature and the coding of the white man, and understanding that his very existence and world control and domination and the maintaining of white supremacy is based on the murder of the black man and woman, then it is no wonder that police brutality is to the level that it is in black communities all over America. The cold-blooded murder of Brother Aswan there in Brooklyn just a few weeks, months ago, shot 20 times, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 times. Brother Jerry Lee Aiming in Los Angeles, shot 39 times, over 6 feet tall, shot even on his shoulders, which meant, did the cracker get on a stepladder and shoot him on his shoulders? Or did they shoot him and shoot him and shoot him down to the ground and keep shooting him even after he was on the ground? You don't have to shoot a damn elephant 39 times to kill an elephant. And Jerry Lee Amy, as always, as all of us are, was the wrong man. Cracker was looking for a robbery suspect. Jerry Lee Amy is playing with his daughter in the front yard. And as they are running across the front yard, the cracker assumes that he is a so-called fugitive of just us. And so they shoot him down on his lawn in front of his baby girl. Brother Philip Pinnell would still be alive in New Jersey. Brother Lewis there in St. Petersburg, Florida, would still be alive as the crackers rolled up on him and claimed that his car lunged forward that one was on the side and the other one, what kind of fool this is, I don't know. The other cop was supposedly in front of the car looking through the front of the windshield. Common sense would tell a damn fool, you don't have to be a policeman, that you don't stand in front of the vehicle. But they claim the vehicle lunged forward. They shot him. The policeman was never hit by the vehicle. The vehicle never crashed anywhere into the pole or anywhere on the side. Brother Lewis would still be alive if we understood this dynamic better than we understand it. Our brother in Johnny Gamage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was there in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, and the crackers said that he stepped on his brakes and his brake lights came on too many times. His brake lights were blinking too many times. And so they snatched him from the vehicle, and all of them jumped on top of him and beat him and choked him and choked him until they choked in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Brother Johnny Gamage to death, Sister Eula May Love, and the many that are from the New York area, from the New Jersey area, from Chicago, from Los Angeles, from the South, and throughout. All of them, brothers and sisters, victims of police brutality, and we don't even have the time to name all of us killed at the hands of brute beast police. It was former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall who spoke at Howard University, sometimes called Howard University. And as he spoke there, he said that the Ku Klux Klan, that the white paramilitary right-wing organizations, the Nazis and others, that the Klan no longer just wears white hoods and white sheets, but now the Klan wears blue uniforms, carries a badge or a shield and a legal, quote-unquote, weapon, that the Klan now wears black robes and sits on the judge's bench to rule from the courtroom. And so Thurgood Marshall, having been a Supreme Court justice, too afraid to make bold stands himself, but in a sense like the spook who sat by the door, on his way out, he could begin to give up a little bit of the truth. And right here in New York, we have Judge Bruce Wright. And as we read his book, Black Robes, White Justice, in Black Robes, White Justice, Judge Bruce Wright gives us the inside track on the criminal justice system of the white man. And never call it a criminal justice system unless you put the adjective in front of it, that it is a criminal justice system. In fact, it is the criminal justice system. It is no wonder that there is police brutality, because the white man is a criminal. He's the number one criminal on the face of the planet Earth. Criminals established the criminal justice system of white America. Every law in the penal code system of the state of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, California, Georgia, no matter where, and the penal code for the federal government of the United Snakes of America, every law in the penal code book, every law was broken by the white man in order to establish that state, to establish this state, and to establish what he calls the United States of America. Every law. Some of you saw us on Harold Hope. That's what he is. That's a little Ebonics. I can't call him Harold Hoare. Ebonically speaking, he's Harold Ho.
I hear the million. Youth Family March now is going to be for all races, all colors, and they're going to have a mass marriage, interracial marriage. Anybody that's out there, if you're in the crowd, if you're getting married, hell, you're going to get married. Sisters go get married to devil men. Huh? But I mean, it shouldn't be under the voice of a conscious and righteous occasion. So they're doing that now. brothers will get married to white women. Whoever is in the crowd gets married. And not only will sisters get married to white men, but some sisters will get married to white women. And some brothers will get married to white men. Did I say sisters with white women? Brothers with white men? Whoever's getting married gets married. Then an integrated homosexual couple will go out saying, I got married at the Million Family March. What happened to the voice of Elijah Muhammad? What happened to Elijah? Elijah taught you, black man and black woman, that the very elect of God would be deceived. That the dragon would sweep up a third of the stars of heaven with his tail. And that the very elect, I repeat, of God would be deceived. Oh, brother, my brother, my brother, my sister. Cannot you see that in New York, we should be the example for the world? A mass movement, black power movement, should be formed in New York. Here in the year 2000. Poor, blessed Sister Kariatu, Sister Kariatu Jallo, I looked at her and cried, not just because of the loss of her son, but I looked at that blessed, beloved mother, and I almost cried because, and on another occasion, the tears did come, because I heard her say how much she believes in the justice system of white America. And how Brother Amadou dreamed of America and had hopes in America. He loved America. The white man is the devil, brothers and sisters. That's not rhetoric. That's 100% right and exact. He is the devil. He cannot change. And he can only deceive you and take you down with him. Come on, brothers and sisters. This book, if you are a Christian, this book, and I got a white one, this book warns you that Satan, the devil, like a roving lion, goes to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. It talks about the deception of the serpent, of the snake. All of this is talking about him. It talks about a people blessed that are certainly black, but the scripture talks of them under a hidden symbolism that they are deaf, dumb, and blind, robbed of a knowledge of self, hard to lead in the right direction and easy to lead in the wrong direction. The prophecies are being fulfilled right before your eyes, brothers and sisters. And you won't stand up. And the babies that you have produced, black woman and black man, are just as dead as you are. And certainly maybe not any of you who are here. Maybe that's the ones who didn't come. None of you here, maybe. But look at the generation. Rappers who could raise the youth up overnight. If you can make them turn their caps around backwards. If you can make them wear their pants down to here, then it shows the crack of their private part. If you can make them look sloppy. If you can make them talk filthy and low down and degenerate. If you can make them disrespecters of the black woman. If you can make them talk about the murder and the killing of another black man or another black woman, and by the same token, you can make them respectable and decent and upright. Listen to your lyrics. He was talking about die, nigga, die, nigga, die, nigga, die. How come you can't say white woman, the real bitch or bitch in your music? Because you scared of the white man. He'll be the one to strike you and take your life. We're in the 21st century. Sister Tisha Miller is dead in California, sitting in a car, lying in a car, asleep, and four brute beasts take her life. Brother James Byrd in Texas, Jasper, Texas, dead because devils chained him behind their truck and dragged him until he was dismembered, leaving body parts all along the highway. Crackers are now all over the country, a rise in the Ku Klux Klan, a rise in the skinheads, a rise in the paramilitary right-wing organizations. Now they're just riding up on us, blowing us away in the streets at the bus stop. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that there would come a day when the white man would be stripped of all signs of civility and we would see a raw, naked beast in the streets. This is a raw, naked beast now. And they are backed up by a raw, naked beast. Giuliani, Schaefer, and goddammit, Hillary Clinton ain't no better than no other cracker. You Negroes should quit it. You Negroes should stop it. Hillary Clinton is one of the biggest whores in Washington, D.C., and one of the biggest liars in Washington, D.C. The only problem with Monica Lewinsky and Bill was that Bill was messing with a woman that she had eyes on. But you caught these devils. Why are you courting the devil in the year 2000? So you can be a big nigga. I'm the nigga that all the white folks, all the white folks have to come by me, cause I'm the big nigga. No, you a little nigga, and in the 21st century, you shouldn't be a nigga at all. Stop playing games with the lives of our people just so you can poop in a seat in the Senate chamber or poop in a seat in the mayor's office or just poop anywhere just glad to be rubbed on the head by the peckerwood. This must stop. Negroes running around in the year 2000.
Because of America's wicked mistreatment of God's chosen people that are here in the midst of this no-good beast. So when God damns America, condemns America, you shouldn't get in the way. But some of you get angry. I can't go along with that. God has not condemned white people. That's so silly. You're the one that's silly. You should want God to step in and intervene for you. All the hell you've been catching from this crack. Over 400 years of slavery, suffering, and death. A strange fruit that hangs from the trees with blood at the root. Who was that, Bessie Smith or Billie Holiday? Used to sing it. Strange fruit in the south with, on the trees with blood at the root. That strange fruit was the black man and the black woman hanging from the trees. Huh? Drowned us in the lakes, the rivers, the brooks, and the streams. Burned us alive. Cut our black women's stomachs open, pregnant, and snatch the babies from their stomach and crush the baby under their boot heel. Tie horses and oxen to them while they're pregnant 8-9 months and beat the horses and make them run in opposite directions and tear a body apart so the black baby could fall from her. I'm talking about the goddamn white man. But some of you today, you like a milk toast, 55, punkified kind of teaching where we're talking about, well, maybe we'll be able to get along together. After all, we do have a man running for president. Hell, that's all he's doing is running. It's a pursuit he'll never catch up with.
We want to see the black family back together. Black man back with his black woman. There is no woman like the black woman, black man. No woman like the black woman. Don't you let no revolutionary fancy talk. Don't you let no religious fancy talk. No Christianity, no Judaism. Don't you let no Islam, no communism. Don't you let nothing put you with the white man's woman and you abandon your own woman. This black woman is the best. This black woman is the one and only, Dr. Byron Shango is saying on the front row. That's that black woman, mother of civilization, queen of the planet Earth, goddess of the universe. Oh, black man, we've been blessed. You leave Susie Rodden Wickle alone. Give me a black goddess sister. I can't resist her. No blonde hair, blue-eyed, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, recessive, depressive, straight up but straight down, lift 6 o'clock, no frills, no thrills, eukanoid, cuckoo-soy, subject to have the itch, white cave bitch, not for me, give me the black woman, give me the black woman. Give a damn how long her dress is. Her wickedness is longer than her dress. Give me the black woman. The black woman, black man, that's the precious divine gift to us. She keeps us warm in the wintertime. She keeps us cool in the summertime. And keeps us hot all year round. I love you, brothers and sisters. I only ask one thing of you. Just be sure.
None of them couldn't mess with you. A recording studio gangster. You just as bad as you can be. You gon' blow, put your gat in the nigga's mouth and blow the nigga's brains out. I'll stomp that hoe. I'll kick that bitch. White man show up, you can hear a rat pee on cotton. Nigga ain't ready to fight. Nigga ain't ready to fight. I say we must arm the masses. Most of y'all got guns anyway. You shoot them for the 4th of July. Damn day that ain't even your Independence Day. Yes, you do. You shoot them on New Year's and New Year ain't even in yet. You just got them. They're just toys. Or you'll go get them on your wife. Draw the gun on her because she burnt the beans for the 4th time. She'll just go order some beans. Or she'll draw the pistol on you because the phone rang at 2 in the morning and you stayed on too long, talking too low. Two or three brothers so bad. I'm Crip. Two or three brothers so bad. I'm Blood. They'll go off into territory of their rival brother gang and face bumper jacks, face chains, baseball bats, pipes, nines, AKs, face everything in a fratricidal war with your kith and kin, your flesh and blood, your brother, your sister. Damn white man come, you throw the guns under the damn car, throw the damn guns in the bushes, he make 50 niggas spread up against the wall, one peck of wood. Alright, get up against the wall, buddy. Don't move, guy. Here's Will Kill Johnson. Huh? Here's Bloody Blood. All them crazy names you got. Here's Shotgun. All of them spread up against the wall.
There is no mystery God. Absolutely no mystery God. There is no God in the sky, and there is no devil under the ground. Heaven is not in the sky, and hell is not under the ground. Heaven and hell are conditions of the mind, states of existence, and states of being. So Jesus told us to stop looking for heaven in the sky. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you, and that we are the temples of the living God. That the living God lives in our temple, and he does not inhabit the sky, but he inhabits the higher realms of the heavens, of the realm of the secret innermost chamber, of the subconscious chamber of the soul of man and woman. And this power bursts forth and emanates forth from him to set in motion a universal order based on principle and law. All of this set in motion by a divine power and a divine force that never dies. It's constant. It just changes form. God is in man. Can't be in any man. He's got to be in the original man. Because if God is the first and everything comes from him, then he can't wait for anything else. He brings everything else into existence. There could be no white man if there were no black man. It is biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive white man to produce the dominant yellow baby. Biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive yellow man and woman to produce the dominant brown baby. Biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive brown man and woman to produce the dominant black baby. But that black man and his woman, the father and the mother of it all, can produce black, can produce brown, can produce red, can produce yellow. And if the seed runs wild or mutates in the womb of the black woman, can even produce an albino, something which is whiter than white, 180 degrees in either direction.
I promise not to be long, but I promise that I must be strong. My subject today is the goddamn white man. That's my subject. All praise is due to Allah. So fasten your seatbelt, because we're ready to get busy up here. My subject is the goddamn white man. I can't bite my tongue with that. I can't tiptoe with that. I can't pussyfoot with that. I can't tiptoe through the tulips with that. I said my subject is the goddamn white man. You say, but I thought I had come to a religious place. You say, I thought I had come to a place where people believe in the Bible and believe in the Quran and believe in God and believe in all of the prophets and messengers and those who have come in the divine line of divine. So how could he have such a subject, the goddamn white man? Why, it's sacrilegious. Why, it's blasphemy. Why, it's using the name of God in vain. Isn't that what some of you are saying? You can shake your pretty black head and you don't have to raise your hand. You say that's blaspheming against God. But we want you, for the time that you're here, to sit back and relax, keep an open mind. And as the Bible says, let us reason together.
Yes, sir.
Let us do
what?
Reason.
Let us reason together. Now, we should define our terms. If the subject is the goddamn white man, the first word in the subject is the. Is that right? The. Let's get some white chalk and go to the blackboard. The first term, we got it up here, so we'll just underline it, is the, or the, the. The in English grammar is the definite article. Anytime you say the anything, it standardizes it. It epitomizes it. It sets it aside and pretty much makes it a cut above everything else. This is the standard by which everything else in that category or class is to be judged. So if we say the goddamn white man, then that means there's no other goddamn man anywhere that can compare with this goddamn man. All right, but we want to look at it, though. God. God is the supreme being. Is that right? Not just any being, but God, using the definite article again, is the supreme being. God is not a supreme being. God is what? The supreme being. Nothing else to compare with the power, the wisdom, the majesty, the glory of Almighty God. So he is the supreme being. He is the creator, not a creator. He is what? The creator. He is the former, the shaper, the molder, the fashioner of everything that is in existence. He is the divine mind of the universe. Is that him? And he is called in many languages by many names. And you, black man, and you, black woman, you have always believed in that God. Never has there been a time when the black man and the black woman, could you free me a little bit? Man and the black woman have not believed in a God. And I know the white man has told you that when he found us in Africa, we were swinging through the trees, eating bananas and eating each other, and howling ooga booga. And that we were savages, living on a beast level. And that he brought us to America and civilized us. That he did us a favor by bringing us to America. But such is not the case, because white folks do lie. We have always believed in the supreme being. We have always believed in the creator. We have always believed in the shaper, the molder, and the fashioner. That one who called and willed everything into existence. We have always believed in the divine mind, the infinite intelligence, the power, the force that is behind the cosmological and universal order of things, and who set it all to a balance and set it all up according to divine law. We have always believed in that God. You go to one part of Africa and we call him Nakumpo. You go to another part of Africa, we call him Umbelinko. You go to another part of Africa, we call him Unkulunkulu. What we call him? Say it again. Let me hear you say it one more time. Nakumpo, Umbelinko, Unkulunkulu. In another part of Africa, we call him Shango. In another part, we call him Oshu. Ogun, Ilegba, Babaluaye, Oludumare, Obatula. Another part of Africa, we called him Ptah. And we, there in the holy city of what is called Egypt by the white man, but it's called Kemet by us, which means black. In the ancient nation, African, black African nation, Kemet, or what is called Egypt by the Greeks, in the holy city of Abydos, in the sacred temple of Seti I, there on the walls in what the white man calls hieroglyphics, but what we call in the language of Kemet, the Medunetta.
in the language of the Medunetah, not hieroglyphics. You can read it on the walls. And it dates back 4,100 years. Some say 5,000 years. You can read on the walls the first creation story.
Yes,
it predates the creation story of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It predates the creation story, or it predates the beginning of the Holy Quran, so it pulls both of them together. Where a God among the African black man and black woman that we call, again, showing you that we always believed in the one God. When we say Umvelingo, we hold up one finger. When we say Umkulunkulu, you'll see the African holding up one finger. Why are you holding up one finger, African? I'm holding up one finger because Umkulunkulu is the one God. I'm holding up one finger because Nakumko, Umvelingo, because Shango, Ilekba, Babaluaye, Oludumare, Opatula, and the others, they represent one God, Olufu, Ileda, who is the feminine representation of that one God. Because we never had a hang-up in Africa, the God and the goddess always go together. You can't talk about a universe unless you talk about the God and the goddess. When you talk about Olufu, you got to talk about Ileda, because it is from the holy bond of Olufu and Ileda that you get Oludumare. You can't talk about the god Osiris unless you talk about the goddess Isis. Or you can't talk about Osar unless you talk about Aset and the offspring, the divine, immaculate conception that comes from Ileda and Olufun. Oludumare is the divine, immaculate conception. And that holy one, that child that comes from the black Madonna Isis or Aset, from the union, spiritual union with Osiris, is Horus according to the Greeks, but in the Medunetah, his name is Heru. So we always have the God and the goddess. If you were going to Kemet or to Egypt now, you will see where the white man always tries to chisel the female out. He always tries to destroy the black goddess and leave the God by himself. Because you ain't got no God unless you got the God. You don't have no balance unless you have the two of them working together for the balance and harmony of the universe. All praise is due to Allah. We are on the one God, and we are on the fact that we always believe in that one God. And so there in the holy city of Abydos, at the sacred temple of Seti I, in the so-called hieroglyphics or in the Medunetah, we find the first creation story, where the God, the black God, what kind of God?
Wow.
Where the black God, Ptah, through authoritative utterance and divine will and creative force and power, gave utterance and called and willed the universe into existence. And so the Holy Quran says that he said, Kun fayakun. Kun fayakun. Be, and it is. Be, and it is. Kun fayakun. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be this, and let there be that, and let there be light, and there was light. And the light, it says, then began to harmonize with the darkness. So let there be light, kun fayakun, be, and it is the authoritative utterance that the African, do you read in the hieroglyphics or the Medunetah, that Ptah Hotep, through authoritative utterance, willed and called the universe into existence.
Yes,
in another part of Africa, we called him Amen. In another part of Africa, we called him Amen-Ra. In another part of Africa, we call him Aten. All over Africa, we believe in the one God. We have always believed in the one God, the one power and force behind the universe. The white man ain't never had to teach us nothing about no God. White folks don't believe in no God. The only God that the white man believes in is himself. When he says on the back of the dollar bill, in God we trust, it's him that he's trusting in. When it was time to go and raid Noriega in Panama, he didn't call a meeting of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Negro Uncle Tom, boot-licking, butt-licking puppet Colin Powell, the Negro and his staff, and call them all in and say, we're getting ready to attack Panama. Let us bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Do you think Bush did that? Do you think he said, our Father, who art in heaven? Do you think he did that? When he got ready to attack Brother Maurice Bishop, the leader of the New Jewel Movement in Grenada, do you think Reagan and the boys called a meeting of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and spent it in Congress and had a moment of prayer before they did it? No, and if they did, they were doing it to themselves. They said, load up the troops, the guns, and the ammunition, and let us go. When it's time to launch one of their spaceships, they don't say, let us bow our heads. They say, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. They start the countdown and counting, right? He believes in no God except himself. And so he will make up a mystery God, but then he'll give you a son that looks like him, with blonde hair, blue eyes, and pale skin, and tell you that if you see the Son, you've seen the Father, because the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. So if you see a white man as the Son, your subconscious has to suggest to you that the Father must be white some kind of way, also to produce a boy like that. Your mind has to say that to you. And here, as we look at it, we again have always believed in one God. In fact, all of the other people of the earth get their religion from us.
Yes, I can. Come on there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.